Hello and welcome to Get Started with Film Photography Podcast. My name is Graham Young. And this will be the third of four episodes about single lens reflex cameras, the SLRs. The cameras that we're going to be talking about today are single lens reflex cameras from the 1980s. They had a lot of electronics built in, but they also had manual focus. It's not yet into the autofocus time frame. If you've not already listened to the first episode of the single lens reflex series, make sure you do listen to that. You don't have to listen to the second episode of the single lens reflex series. If you're not interested in those old mechanical, all manual cameras, you can just listen to this one, but do make sure you listen to the first of the single lens reflex cameras. It's also good to listen to the episode. It's actually a two-part episode, buying your first camera. So those are episodes that this episode builds off of. Today, we're going to be talking about the early electronic cameras from the 1980s. And the electronics in these cameras were really about light metering and exposure. So let's go back up a little bit and talk about the single lens reflex cameras that came just before them. The single lens reflex cameras of the 1970s, and they made their way into the 80s a little bit, but they were manual exposure cameras in that even if it had a light meter, you had to adjust the settings of the aperture and the shutter speed manually. You had to make those adjustments each time. And usually you were working on a match needle system. And I do describe that pretty extensively in the last episode, in episode 2 of this 4-part series. Those cameras needed only one battery, and the battery that they used was very commonly the mercury battery that held a very stable 1.3 volt voltage throughout their lifetime. And what that did was it gave a very, very stable, long-living battery that was very consistent across its lifetime. Of course, the problem was the mercury batteries were dangerous, and there are still some around today. I have a couple of cameras that actually have mercury batteries in them, and when those batteries die, I'm going to have to find a way to properly dispose of those, the hazardous materials, and I'll definitely be wearing gloves and all that type of stuff and a mask probably while I do that. In the 1980s, they switched from that mercury battery as they began to be banned across Europe and Asia and the United and North America, and South America too, the Americas. Alkaline batteries started coming in. Now, they were rated at 1.5 volts, and they're good batteries. Those are the batteries that are commonly available today. But as they age, they start to lose a little bit of their voltage, and they've got kind of a long gradual slope, whereas a 1.3 mercury battery had very flat, even voltage until just before it died when it started to slip off. So alkaline batteries are a little bit less reliable. An old alkaline battery will not give you the same voltage as an old mercury battery would. And that's one of the reasons why they used them for so many years. But the cameras that we're going to be talking about today are, by and large, they're using the alkaline batteries of today. It's not a big issue, but you just need to be aware of it. If you do find one of these electronic cameras with a mercury battery, the 1.3 volt. Now, that voltage is going into electronics. So most likely they have some conversion circuitry so that's not a big factor at all that you need to worry about those, what the voltage is. The early SLRs that I talked about in the last episode had uncoupled light meters. That means that you would have a light meter that would have a readout, but it would not actually change anything in any settings in the camera. But now in the 1980s, electronics are on the rise, and electronics can now control shutter speed and aperture settings. So now we start getting what we called coupled light meters. So you could set it to automatic exposure, you could set it to automatic shutter speed, you could set it to automatic aperture, and the camera would adjust those. So when we talk about our exposure triangle, the film speed is set, and then we have shutter speeds that are set by the user, and then the aperture is set by the camera, or the other way around, the aperture is set by the user, and the shutter speed is set by the camera. So that would be aperture priority or shutter priority. Whichever one the user is changing, that's the priority. So if you change the shutter speed, you're on shutter priority. If you change the aperture, you're on aperture priority. So what this does is give us a very, very consistent exposure range based on the electronics that are in the camera. One of the other things that is important to know is with manual cameras of the 1970s, you were limited to shutter speeds that were in those full stops. So you got a 1/30th of a second, 1/60th of a second, 1/125th of a second. They were those numbers. You couldn't select between them. And that works perfectly fine with black and white film and basic color print film. But with other types of film like slide film, that can be a real big issue because exposure for those can be much more sensitive. And you might want to expose on a 1/3 stop increment. Now, apertures at this time, even though they had like clicks on the stops, you could set them to in between F8 and F11. I mean, you could set it to somewhere in between there, and you could guess where a third or a half stop was in there. That was not a problem at all. With the advent of the electronics, we no longer were stuck with that full stop in the shutter speed. The shutter speeds of these cameras, because they were triggered electronically, could be triggered on, say, 1/50th of a second or 1/75th of a second or 1/80th of a second, depending on the reading of the light coming through. So it could give very, very tight, very, very accurate exposures that could be right on the bat every time, even if things landed between two shutter speeds or two apertures. It could do a very, very accurate exposure. And that's one of the big advantages. Now, one of the other things that you can do is also set the aperture to automatic, and you can set the shutter speed to automatic. And that's what we call fully automatic or program. Now, program is a little bit different from fully automatic. Fully automatic, the camera decides the shutter speed and the aperture. In program, it takes different environments into consideration. If you're in sports mode, it will prioritize a fast shutter speed and a wide open aperture as you're going through the shooting situation. So it could figure out what kind of scenes you would want to have. It would adjust those controls based on its idea of what the best situation could be. The program cameras are like the Pentax ME Super, the Minolta X700, the Nikon FE, the Canon AE-1 program, Olympus OM-1. Those are the ones that had program. Those are the ones that were more advanced. Some of the other lesser models within those same lines would have aperture priority, shutter priority, and then just a general automatic. Or maybe they would just have one, aperture priority or shutter priority. The big factor in 1980s SLRs was the marketing. Previous to this time, people who would take what we call snapshots, family photos, holiday photos, they would be buying small travel rangefinders, or they would be buying 1/26 Instamatic light cameras, where the only setting that you have is when to press the button and when to look through the light meter, or and whether or not you would put a flash cube on the camera to get a flash. Those were your decisions. In the 1980s, camera manufacturers said, if we can get those folks into SLRs, we can sell not a $20 camera or a $30 camera. We can sell a $200 camera or a $300 camera. So they began marketing these single lens reflex cameras to everyone with the idea everyone can be a pro. Being a pro is easy. All I do is press the shutter. The camera does the rest. That type of thing. But I'm a pro because I have an SLR. So because that marketing was really successful and they drew more people into camera stores for these single lens reflex cameras, and many of these people didn't know what an aperture was from a shutter speed, they started to dumb down some models. And they used to give just only aperture priority and no manual settings, that type of thing. So there'd be no control over shutter speed. There'd be no control over anything else. The Olympus OM-10 is a great example of that camera. It was an aperture priority only camera. You could not control the shutter speed at all with it off the shelf. There was a little socket on the front, and you could buy an optional adapter that would plug into that socket, and you could change the shutter speeds with that little optional adapter. So you could upgrade to a fully manual camera, but the idea of upgrading to a fully manual camera from an automatic camera just seems to me a little bit backwards, at least in my thinking. But that was one of the things that was available in this time frame. So it's really important to know that not all metal electronic SLRs from this age are equal. Some of them were dumbed down just a little bit, and they don't have all of the functionality that we need. We're going to go ahead and take a little break at this point. So one of the things that we need to do when you go out and buy these cameras is you need to be able to identify one of those dumbed down cameras that only has aperture priority or only has shutter priority from one that has fully manual settings. One of the first things that you want to do is you want to locate the shutter speed dial. Most commonly, the shutter speed dial was on the top deck of the camera, and it was just a turning knob, a knob that you could turn. It would have shutter speed numbers, and those shutter speed numbers are like 1/8, 1/15, 1/60th, but you might only have the denominator, the lower number, so you would see 8, 15, 30, 60. 125, those types of things around. The other place that this shutter speed dial could be is around the barrel of the lens, right at the base of the lens. It's actually attached to the camera as opposed to attached to the lens. Now, what's attached to the lens is the aperture dial. There were very few cameras that would allow you to change the shutter speed but not change the aperture, because the aperture was a control that was on a lens, and they didn't really sell lenses without aperture control until we get into the next group, episode 4 of 4 of these 35mm SLRs. So there was always an aperture control on the body of the manual focus lenses. If you can see that there is a shutter speed dial somewhere on that camera, it has the manual controls that you want. Now, the next thing that you want to look for is an A setting, either on the aperture ring or on the shutter speed dial. If there is an A setting or a P setting, then you have a camera that is a little bit more advanced and can go into that full automatic or program mode. And let's talk one little thing, how to tell the difference between an aperture ring and a shutter speed ring. The aperture ring will have numbers like 2.8, 5.6, 8, 11, 16, something along those lines. and the shutter speed will be 8, 15, 30, 60, 125. You're looking for that doubling system. That's the way to tell the difference between an aperture ring and a shutter speed ring on those cameras that had those around the edges. Now, the advantages of these 35mm SLRs that were manual focus, but they had the electronics to be auto exposure, was with aperture priority or shutter priority, you only have to worry about one leg of the exposure triangle. Automatic exposures could take advantage of fractional stops, specifically with fractional shutter speeds when you're in aperture priority. Electronic timing was spot on. It's done by electronics. It's on. Very rarely will you ever find any of these cameras where the shutter speeds are off in any end of the settings. All the advantages that are mentioned with the fully manual SLRs in the previous episodes are valid with this, and so are all of the disadvantages, like size. Some of the disadvantages are that these are some of the first electronics created. Aging electronics are not good. When they die, they're dead. They're not coming back. They're not replaceable. These are not parts that are available. Nobody can replace the boards unless they have a donor camera. And you might as well, if the board's good on the donor camera, you might as well use the donor camera. So they were designed 40 plus years ago, and that's old for electronics. Once the electronics die, the camera dies. So that's the big deal. There is a... I hate to do this, but I do want to tell you, there are some people who believe if the camera won't power on, bang it sharply on the floor once, it works sometimes and shakes that it shakes those electronics loose. You need a battery to make it work. That is one of the big disadvantages. These will not work without a battery. They might have one shutter speed that is of a different color on the dial, and that may be a fully manual shutter speed. You might be able to make it work with a single manual shutter speed. Some of them are dumbed down with fewer controls, and those are ones that are generally to be avoided. That's it for this episode. In our next episode, we'll be talking about 35mm SLRs that have autofocus, auto exposure. They do everything for you, and they're the last group of cameras that were 35mm SLRs, last group of cameras that were made. If you have any questions, I have a once monthly podcast of questions and answers. If you have a question, go to the website, getstartedwithfilm.com, and fill out the form, or send me an email, graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and that's spelled graham@getstartedwithfilm.com, and put in the subject line whatever the subject of the question is, so I know how to organize each question. If you are on Instagram, you can follow the feed of the show at @getstartedwithfilm. If you hashtag your posts, Get Started With Film, I have a pretty good chance of seeing your work, and I might feature it in the show's feed. Our music comes from filmmusic.io. This track is Poofy Reel by Kevin McLeod of incomptech.com, and it's licensed through Creative Commons.